Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cowles behind the glass, and joining us on the Fan Hotline right now is our guy, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. Chris, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Doran. How are we doing today? I'm all right, man. Training camp just started for Steelers. Pitt's in a couple of days. I'm pretty excited, man. It's a lot. Football's coming back, and that's a great time for me.
Yeah, I could smell it in the air. And you were there yesterday at training camp, and obviously the news coming out that Russell Wilson has a little calf strain or calf soreness, so didn't participate in practice yesterday, and Justin Fields was called upon to be the starter at quarterback for the Steelers of their first day of training camp. What are your initial thoughts? What did you see, and how did Justin Fields look yesterday?
I thought Justin Fields showed a lot of what we've known of him in that when he is on, he makes some really impressive plays. He had a couple just laser throws that were just very impressive. Some of the Pat Freiermuth, he had a deep one to Van Jefferson. There were some really good throws, but there were also some points where he just flat out missed guys. But I think that's part of what the Steelers are trying to kind of recoup with Justin Fields. He was wildly inconsistent at times in Chicago. That's why he never really caught on there, on top of their organizational problems. My biggest thing for Justin Fields is, how is he going to progress throughout this training camp? I think that's a big task for new quarterback coach Tom Arth, who's going to be working with him on his form. I think that's where he's going to have to shorten his release, his throw. He's going to need to figure out a more consistent, muscle memory. But when he does that and he starts to understand what the Steelers offense is supposed to do, that's when we'll get to see the real Justin Fields, and who knows, maybe this is the real Justin Fields and he won't grow, but I always give every player the benefit of the doubt. I think that he has a really good chance to grow a lot this summer, and I think as far as a starting point for training camp, I think he did a good job yesterday.
I love being able to follow you through things like yesterday, because you kind of break down almost every drill and I don't have to be there in order for me to follow. So I thank you for doing that. And I'm sure a lot of people that follow you and are engaged with you appreciate you breaking down almost every session of training camp. And what I did see from you yesterday is one guy's name pop up a lot. Now, I know that there's a video out there of Justin Fields throwing the deep ball to Van Jefferson, but Dante Jackson fell down on that play. But I also saw Dante Jackson be a part of a lot of pass breakups, be a part of a lot of situations yesterday. How did he look in the first day of training camp, knowing that he's probably going to be the starting quarter on the opposite side of Joey Porter Jr.?
I thought he looked really good, Doran, and I think it's a really good sign for the secondary that he looked as good as he did, at least. And again, it's no pads. It's still early. We've had the training camp Warriors come into Pittsburgh over the years and look really good before the pads go on, and then when the pads went on, they kind of like disappeared. But I don't think it's going to happen for Dante Jackson. I said this before. When Dante Jackson kind of got burnt, in Carolina, he was the number one cornerback, and like that was part of the problem, was that I don't think he was ever the ace cornerback that was going to take on your Justin Jeffersons, your Jamar Chases. But you put him on a team where he doesn't have to be the number one, where he can kind of be the number two, and he could take on most number two receivers and occasionally a number one. I think that's his pace. I think that's where that fits his skill set very well. And at least yesterday, he looked pretty good. He also matched up with George Pickens several times and more than just held his own. I think I'd say he won most of the matchups that he had with George Pickens. That's a very good sign for Dante Jackson. I'll also say, Deshaun Elliott also looked really good. They threw him in the slot. I even asked Omar Khan, like, hey, was that part of the expectations that he would do that more? Because, you know, Cam Sutton can practice right now. Like, there's nothing holding back Cam Sutton from being on the practice field. His suspension won't really begin until the actual season starts. But when it comes to when it comes to what we're seeing with the secondary, you're seeing two new pieces, Dante Jackson and Deshaun Elliott, quickly turning heads at training camp. And these are the pieces that they were missing last year. You know, a consistent slot corner, though I think Sanders Sullivan got better throughout the year. Deshaun Elliott's a different kind of player when he could do that and also play strong safety. And Dante Jackson, Patrick Peterson's a legend. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But when he came to the Steelers, he was older, not as fast. Dante Jackson don't got speed problems. And I think that's what's really impressive about him. He sticks in your hip pocket. He's not just fast. He's technically sound, and that's a very good thing to have across from Joey Porter, who, when I asked about him, he talked about, like, hey, I've always liked that guy. He likes to chirp at players. I love to chirp at players, and he thinks that they're a great pair together.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Follow me at Scorin Doran, and also follow Chris Carter at Carter Critiques. As I said, he breaks down training camp, so if you can't make it up to Latrobe, definitely follow Chris at Carter Critiques, because he breaks everything down so you don't really have to be there and you can follow what's going on. Pat Freiermuth, Chris, he has moved around a lot. I talked to him a lot throughout the offseason, talked to him a little bit last month, and he loves Arthur Smith. And I told him, and he texted me that as soon as Arthur Smith was hired, because he knew that Arthur Smith was my tight end coach and knows that I have a relationship with him, and he's very tight end centric, Arthur Smith is. But yesterday, from following you and following everybody else, Pat Freiermuth was moved around a lot. He was targeted a lot. Is Pat Freiermuth the number two receiver on this team heading into the season?
I mean, heck, he might end up being the number one receiver, you know, if they keep throwing it to him, Doran. I even asked him after practice. I was like, was this refreshing? Because, like, you know, we heard from Pat Freiermuth during OTAs and minicamp being like, hey, you know, he's saying like, hey, yeah, I've been told that, you know, the tight end's going to be given a big emphasis in this offense, you know, but to see it, you know, in practice, to be part of it, I was like, was that refreshing? He was like, oh yes. Like, he kind of gave like a sense of release. Like, yeah, I'm very happy with how this first practice went. And I think that's the big thing, because I mean, Doran, you've seen the potential with Pat Freiermuth. His rookie year, he had 7 touchdowns because Ben Roethlisberger kept feeding him in the red zone, but he hasn't had the chance really to pop off for big yards. And I think he can absolutely do that. Like, you go back and you look at what he did against the Bengals in the first game they played them last season. He had 120 yards and they were just getting started. That was the first game they had without Matt Canada. And then the second game they played the Bengals, they used him as a decoy, and the Bengals kept double covering him and leaving open other guys. So I think Pat Freiermuth could be a very really good weapon, a serious threat to all defenses, and he could provide some serious matchup nightmares that could open up more opportunities for George Pickens, and as well as make it easier on the likes of Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, Roman Wilson to get more one-on-one matchups against second, third, and fourth defensive backs on teams' defenses.
What were some of the offensive line configurations? I mean, you know, Broderick Jones played some right tackle from what I saw. Then he moved to some left. Dan Moore Jr. was in the mix. And how did the rookies look? How did Faltano look on his first day? How did Zach Frazier snap the ball on his first day?
Well, I'll say Broderick Jones started at right tackle. They had basically the same line from last year with Nate Herbig as the center for the first team. Broderick Jones was on the right. I thought he was fine. And then when the second team came in, then he moved to the left. And so, and then they also started jumbling up teams so that it wasn't all one team, all first or all second team. But I think they were just trying to get as many reps as possible for different guys. I thought Broderick Jones did fine. I thought Troy Faltano did fine. Zach Frazier did have a low snap that kind of killed a play once, but other than that, I thought he was okay as well. It's also just a lot tougher. You know this, Doran. It's tough to judge linemen when the pads aren't on. They're just kind of trying to look comfortable. And at least from what I saw, I thought the linemen were fine for like where they were. I didn't see too many guys looking like they were so out of place. There were a couple overload blitzes that got through on stuff, but that stuff's going to happen on the first day at camp. I'm going to be intrigued. Next Tuesday is when, or the, you know, this upcoming Tuesday is when you're going to see the pads go on. That's when I want to see How has Broderick Jones grown? He goes up against T.J. Watt on the edge. You know, how does he look when he does that against Watt, against Highsmith, against Herbig? You know, if he looks smooth there and his feet look better and he's getting his hand placement right so that the edge rushers aren't getting into his frame and he's not letting them get clean off the edge, that's going to go a long way. And then I do think what you're going to see is Broderick Jones get moved to left tackle if he shows progress there. So that's what you're kind of looking for over the next few days is just does he not get hurt? Does he look comfortable so that when the pads go on, what does he look like then? That's going to be the big talking point there. So, Broderick Jones is fine. I thought Dan Moore Jr. was also solid. This is the other thing. I think that a lot of Steelers fans just assume he's going to be moved out the picture. Dan Moore Jr. is a 3-year starter, and so he's entering his fourth year. That's not just something that Troy Faltano could just leap over without showing some actual work. And I think that's where it's going to take some job. But this is also why they got Troy Faltano, because he's not like Broderick Jones where he's coming into the league at like almost 20 years old, and he's a guy that's going to be quicker to adapt. I think that Faltano will end up being a starter sooner rather than later, but Dan Moore Jr. is going to hold on to it, and he had a good first day of camp.
Is there anybody else that caught your eye? Anybody else that, you know, isn't a huge name on the Steelers that maybe caught your eye yesterday? It's like, oh man, that guy might have an opportunity to make this roster.
Beanie Bishop, the cornerback out of West Virginia, did a really good job filling in. He was the next slot option behind Deshaun Elliott, and honestly, I thought he fit in very well. I thought he's someone that, you know, could have a Mike Hilton type of run for the Steelers, because he has to figure out his way on special teams, and with the new special teams rules, who knows what's going to be asked of people there. But I thought he looked good there. I thought Peyton Wilson, the rookie linebacker out of NC State, I thought he moved when you saw him. I mean, you just see how he moves in space, Doran, his size. And this is what I loved about him at NC State. I covered him in the ACC. You know, I cover Pitt. And I just like, that guy's a real athlete. I know people are concerned about his knee injury history and all that. But, man, if you even get 5 years of what I've seen of Peyton Wilson do in college, and that translates quickly to the pros, the Steelers are going to have some studs at linebacker with him and Patrick Queen, and that could be a real threat there. So I'd say Peyton Wilson also had a really good day. In general, I thought the secondary looked pretty solid. Corey Trice being back out there and being healthy with no knee brace, moving around, looking comfortable, I thought that was a very good sign. The Steelers have a lot of young players on this team, Doran, and I think there's a lot of chances for guys to step up, make their name for themselves, but also make this one of the deeper Steelers teams that we've seen in a long time. We haven't seen a team with real depth, I think, take over. You know, last year they kind of held on because practice squad guys sort of came in, but, you know, second and third string guys being ready at the helm. I also think DeMarvin Leal looked a lot better. I think he's a guy who's lost some weight, gotten a little bit quicker, got a little bit faster. He's a little more fork focused now. Because remember, the Steelers drafted him very young. He was like 20, he was also like 20 years old coming out of college. Now he's 22, 23 years old. I think he knows a lot better what's expected of him. And I think him and Keanu Benton are going to be a real nasty 1-2 punch if they continue to progress in the right way.
Pitt football opens training camp on Wednesday. Give us one X factor of if Pitt football has a successful season, this guy has to play at a high level. One X factor on Pitt football's team.
Man, you one X factor. You limited me here because I think that there's a bunch of guys.
Well, then, give us a bunch. So,
Cruz Brookins was the guy that I wrote about throughout spring camp, and I think he's going to be a problem. He's a safety. But the thing is that Pitt has so many good safeties. Donovan McMillan, I think, is extremely talented. Javon McIntyre, P.J. O'Brien, even Jesse Anderson, the redshirt freshman. They got two redshirt freshmen in Brookins and Anderson that can be in the slot, be a strong safety, be a free safety. I love the way that they look. I think Cruz Brookins is going to be the next superstar there. But again, McMillan, I think, is a guy that's going to go to the NFL and look really solid. Javon McIntyre, I think, you know, he didn't have any interceptions last year, but I think he's a guy who can be beyond that. P.J. O'Brien, experienced, knows the system. He's gonna carry the culture. I think the safety room as a whole is going to be really impressive. I also think the linebackers are going to be impressive. Brandon George is the leading voice there, but look out for guys like Braylon Lovelace, Jordan Bass, Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles. All these guys are sophomores. These are all, you know, I think Kyle Lewis is a redshirt sophomore, but all these guys are sophomores, and they have so much youth and speed. And by the way, there's this guy Cam Lindsay from Aliquippa that's a true freshman. He's going to be in the mix. I think the true like talent a pool for Pitt's defense this year is going to be its off-ball moving defenders that can move around the middle part of the field between safety and linebacker. Those are the guys that are going to be blitzing, making turnovers happen. That's the group I think you want to see on defense. On offense, I'm really looking at guys like Kanate Mumfield. I think that we know how good he can be, but now let's see how good he is in an offense that's more coordinated, an offense with a quarterback who can be on time with the ball, like Nate Yarnell. I think it's going to be really interesting to see him. But then I'm also looking to see what receiver steps up behind him. We know about Kenny Johnson, the sophomore. Can he get sharper in his route running? I talked to him a couple times when I got to see him throughout this offseason, and he told me he's like, that's all he's been working on, is trying to get his footwork better, be more consistent, get his hands right. He's been working on those things. You know, they got guys brought from the West Carolina offense, sincerely, and Raphael Williams. But I'm looking at Zion Fowler and Lamar Seymour. How do they fit into this offense? Che Nwabuko, you know, he was a speedster last year. All those guys, I think, can be difference makers on this offense. And then I recently wrote about this for the Post-Gazette. Running back. I think running back is going to be used so much, so differently in Cade Bell's offense than it has been in recent years because of the high pace that they're going to ask to be at. They're not just going to be lining up in the backfield, taking the handoff and going. You're going to need to be even more of a pass protector. You're going to need to be able to line up in the slot because they're going to motion you out there. So Rodney Hammond's still the number one, but look for the mix of Desmond Reed, who's used to the West Carolina offense, Derek Davis, who, when I talked to him, he said, I'm so much faster. He said, I'm back, you know, back to what he used to be, what he felt he could do at Gateway. There's a lot of really, really good positives for this offense, but they just need to click. They need this offense to work. They need Nate Yarnell to be on point, and they need this offensive line to coalesce quickly. If they do those things, this Pitt team is going to be a lot better than it was last year.
You're the man, Chris. Thank you for joining the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Doran.
Yes, sir. We'll see you. Chris Carter, Post-Gazette, breaking down Pitt football and breaking down the Steelers training camp, and a lot of good things, obviously, from both sides, from Pitt football and, you know, what you could expect heading into that season. And, you know, what went down yesterday, a lot of guys showed up. And Beanie Bishop, I think, is the name that, you know, I saw a lot that I was like, oh, wow, like this guy's getting reps with the first team. This is fantastic. You know, an undrafted guy and going to have to earn his way through the NFL and maybe earn his way on the Steelers team and maybe earn a starting spot at nickel corner for the Steelers. So good on him of having a pretty decent first day. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. There's a guy that we talked about on the Steelers that I think is going to be the biggest component on if the Steelers have success this year. And we talked about him, but we're going to talk about him some more and why that he could be the biggest.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Component. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. Chris Carter just joined us in the last segment, broke down Steelers training camp and some of the guys that were out there doing some different things. And Justin Fields obviously getting the rock yesterday as Russell Wilson was out due to a calf strain. Nothing too serious, so I wouldn't be too worried about it. I would assume that Russell Wilson will either be out there today or tomorrow, but Justin Fields, you know, having an up and down practice, which is expected. I mean, I wouldn't think that he would go in there and light it up. I don't think anybody goes in there and lights it up on the first day of training camp, but some different names, you know, even Peyton Wilson showing up yesterday on the first day, being a young rookie. I mean, he has great size. You guys, I mean, whenever they made that pick, I was like, I can't believe this guy fell this far in the draft and the Steelers got him. I honestly think that he's going to be a huge, huge component to the defense this year. Not many people think that because he's so young, and they have a stable of linebackers that they're very comfortable with, and then Landon Roberts and Patrick Queen. But what Peyton Wilson brings to the table is speed, size, and intelligence at a young age in a young player that I think that at a point in the season, maybe halfway through, maybe a little bit before halfway through, they are going to be able to do multiple different things with him, and that is going to alleviate some of the things the defense can do and enhance some of the things the defense will be able to do. They're going to be able to roll out different packages, not just be that stagnant 3-4 defense that defense or that offenses have to go against. Peyton Wilson can really give the Steelers an opportunity to get real creative with what they can do on defense, blitzing, dropping in coverage. He could cover tight ends. He can cover, you know, running backs out of the backfield. This guy, I really think, is going to be a big component to what the Steelers do on defense at some point. Not from right off the bat, but at some point. But right off the bat, I mean, we talk about George Pickens and possibly being a number one receiver. That's to be determined. I think that he'll be able to do that at some point. But right now, their number one receiver is Pat Freiermuth. And yesterday, Pat Freiermuth was used in multiple ways. And having experience with Arthur Smith, he loves tight ends. He loves to use multiple tight ends. He loves to use tight ends in different situations, not just the inline, put your hand in the ground tight end. Pat Freiermuth, you're going to see him play the outside receiver. You're going to see him play in the slot. You're going to see him motion. You're going to see him shift. He's going to play inline. If I had to say anything about Pat Freiermuth and what he's going to do this year, in the least things he's going to do is play the traditional tight end role. Like, he's very, very seldom will you see Pat Freiermuth in line next to a tackle in a three-point stance. He's going to be used in multiple ways, and he was used on the first day of training camp yesterday in multiple ways, and that's what the Steelers' offense is going to go through, and that's okay because the tight ends they dictate what the defense and how the defense lines up. So wherever the tight end goes, for those of you that don't know, that's how the defense sets up, and that's strong side or that's weak side. So if it's, you know, if you're on defense and you're a linebacker and you're giving the play in the huddle, you turn around, you look for the tight end. If the tight end's to your right, you go strong right, and then the Sam linebacker and the strong side linebacker, strong side safety, the strong safety, they go to where the tight end's at. If he's to the left, then that's the weak side. So then the free safety and the Will linebacker will go to the weak side, the opposite side where the tight end isn't. And you're going to have to pick and choose, if you're in man coverage, how you want to cover Pat Freiermuth. And that's where I was talking about earlier about Arthur Smith getting creative and having this receiving corps that they have at hand, not having a number one or a number two, and using the offense as your asset. So if Pat Freiermuth is all the way out to the right and he's in the receiver spot, the defense has to pick or choose whether they want to put a safety on top of him in man coverage, a linebacker on top of him in man coverage, or just have your traditional corner cover him. So if you have your traditional corner in man coverage cover Pat Freiermuth and he's running good routes, then you're going to have a safety on the slot player. You're going to have a safety on the Z. You're going to have, you know, maybe a nickel on the outside and a slower player on Calvin Austin. See, that's where like Pat Freiermuth is going to be able to dictate what the defense does, and this offense will be able to run what they want to run and have success based off of Pat Freiermuth. And that is the best situation to be in if you're the Steelers offense, and this is what you have at hand. This is what the type of players you have. Pat Freiermuth is in position to have a huge year. I would anticipate him getting a contract extension at some point before the season starts, but with him being able and having the versatility to run routes like a receiver, have the body of a tight end, and be physical like a tight end, it just really helps this offense out a lot. It really does. And then, he can motion down and he can block. Or, you know, if you do want to keep or put a safety outside, somebody's going to have to go inside, and then it's just all mismatches. It's all matchups and mismatches that the Steelers are looking for. And that was very encouraging to hear that Pat Freiermuth was getting as many targets as he did yesterday, but in multiple ways, multiple positions. It does become calculus at times for other players. If you are a traditional X or traditional wide receiver, to have to move spots. But once you all get on the same page, and Russell Wilson is on the same page, and Russell Wilson has done this so many times that he can make it easier for George Pickens, he can make it easier for Calvin Austin, easier for Van Jefferson to understand where they're going to line up and what to execute in their route, they can cook with something in that respect. They can cook in this offensive receiving core, or offensive skilled players can have some success. But it all starts with Arthur Smith, and Arthur Smith is going to go through Pat Freiermuth. And if that is a success, then this offense will probably have some success. We'll just see how much success that they have. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Broderick Jones. It was right tackle last year. He was infused into the lineup, I think, what, 4 games into the season, and they found the running game as soon as he was infused in. But he's a natural left tackle. So I would anticipate him moving back to left tackle at some point. He did play some right tackle yesterday, but there's a different configurations with the tackle group that are going to go on in camp. But he's a vital piece to what they want to do in the run game and what they want to do in the passing game. And holding down that left side is going to be huge for Broderick Jones. And who's going to play right tackle? Is it going to be Dan Moore Jr.? Is it going to be Troy Fautanu? But Broderick Jones spoke yesterday. We're going to hear from him. It's 8:38. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Thorne Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Broderick Jones, huge component in what the Steelers are going to do this year and what their offensive line is going to be able to bring to the table. As you know, first-round pick, Troy Fautanu, he's going to have to feel his way through training camp, and he has a competition with Dan Moore Jr., I believe, at the end of the day. That's what will be at right tackle. Troy Fautanu will probably, in my mind, be the starting right tackle as they take on the Atlanta Falcons to start the 2024 season. Broderick Jones playing right tackle left last year. Now he's going to be moved back to left tackle, but just, you know, bear with that situation. He's probably going to play some right tackle throughout training camp. They want to get the right configurations and have the right approach to this season. So, and whenever it's all said and done, you'll see Fautanu at right and Broderick Jones at left. But Broderick Jones spoke to the media yesterday.
First, they went well. For the most part, just knocking the dust off. Getting acclimated again with everything, feeling the heat, moving around, getting active, being active. But overall, as a unit, I feel like we got better today. I feel like we pushed one another. We just got to continue to build and continue to just put our best foot forward.
Speaking of moving around, do you expect to be moving around that line, or do you think you're just going to be?
Honestly, I really still don't know. I'm just coming out here every day trying to get 1% better, even if it's at left or right. I'm just trying to do my part. When my name is called on either side, I just want to be prepared.
When you look back at last season, do you think you began starting at the right time, or do you think you could have handled it game one?
I feel like I started at the right time. I feel like I needed a couple weeks, to actually just sit and watch and just learn and listen and take everything in before I was just able to go out there and, just do what I can. So I feel like me being able to sit down those first couple weeks really helped me. I really feel like it helped me hone in on my skills. At the end of the day, I feel like it worked out for the best.
You end up playing both sides. If it came to switching midseason this year, could you do it?
Yes, sir. Without a doubt. I feel like I'm a versatile player. I can play on either side. I've been doing it my whole life. I practice at it each and every day just so I'm always getting reps on both sides because, like you said, I never know. Coaches really probably still don't know, so we just gotta let time tell and just continue to just get 1% better.
There's so much talk about this new offense, but how do you guys feel like, yes, it's day one, you're starting to come together based on all the work you guys have put in mini camp OTAs?
Yeah, I feel like the offense is coming together really well, just like with OTAs and stuff, and like rookie mini camp with those guys, the rookies being able to get in and get the extra learning curve, just coming in and being able to sit down and just take coaching, you know, one-on-one, because, you know, like, that's their time. You know, we don't take that time from them. So I just feel like for those guys, that's a really big push right there. You know, it's good that they came into a new system. So I feel like, you know, with the older guys, it really don't make a difference, you know. You know, we just try to continue to stay prepared to play and, you know, just always listening to what your coach is telling you, because at the end of the day, they really can't. It's X's and O's. You know, football is football. So, you know, you just got to go out there and give 100%.
Roderick, their transition from year one to two, how different of a player do you feel right now?
You know, I feel like it's more of a rush on things. You know, just me, like, getting better, really honing in on my skills and, you know, really just taking the time to, you know, just focus more on me.
It is amazing from year one to year two in the NFL, like, just how everything slows down and just how you have your feet wet and you understand the structure of a season. You understand the discipline that you need throughout a season. And for Broderick Jones's case, you know, he's going to go back to potentially a position that he has naturally played throughout his career at Georgia. And that is going to make things a lot easier for him, even though that he did pretty well at right tackle. But it's just so it's night and day from your first year to your second year. And how can you not be excited about what the Steelers have done to enhance their offensive line? And even in the future, you know, you think that Faltanu pans out and he's a starter this year and his offensive line is rolling. You think that Zach Frazier pans out and he's a starter this year and the offensive line is rolling. Then you look at Broderick Jones, he's in his second year. It's hard to ignore the future of this offensive line. Now, there's going to be other pieces around this offense that's going to be put in place. But with Mason McCormick, even, you know, I feel like he's a forgotten guy, but he's a guy that I believe will be a starter next year when James Daniels' contract is up. And you're going to have four young guys on this offensive line. One guy going into year three, three guys going into year two. And they all bring something to the table that the Steelers have been missing for a long time. But Broderick Jones set up to have a good sophomore season, if you will, by possibly moving back to his comfortable and initial spot at left tackle. Coming up next, Callis, we're bringing back baseball. And I got another name for you to see if it makes sense for the Pirates to trade for. And then at the top of the hour, we will talk to Noah House, and we'll ask him the same questions. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Kaus, is this the most excited you've been in a while for the Pirates? Like, this moment right now, and even, you know, whenever Skeens got called up, like, when did you feel the last time you were that excited about the Pittsburgh Pirates? Because, I mean, I've paid attention, I guess, a little bit to the Pittsburgh Pirates over the years. And obviously in 13, you know, that was obviously a big moment for Pirates fans. And, you know, especially people that are our age or my age really haven't seen any winning of that significance. But I haven't felt like this much anticipation, I guess, and excitement around the Pirates in really, honestly, like my lifetime.
I was pretty excited until Anil Cruz got hurt last season. It wasn't anything to reach this level, though, because now they're in contention. And Paul Skeens, we thought, may have some sort of correction, you know, major league correction. They might have some games where he start to not pitch as well, and that didn't happen. And he's doing very historic things since being up here. And I think it's just a combination of having national attention from Paul Skeens to them actually being in the race that makes this all very exciting. Like, I'm trying to remember because I was younger. You know, like, McCutchen was a pretty big national story 10 years ago when he won the MVP and when the Pirates, you know, that was a huge story. Pirates break their you know, 20 seasons of losing. So, yeah, it's been about 10 years. But Paul Skeens is on another level of historic. McCutchen was just good. Yes. McCutchen was just the face of a good team. Paul Skeens is setting trends for, like, records.
Yes.
Or, you know, on the trajectory to set records and do things that few have done. So,
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, I'm going to tell you a name and tell me why it makes sense or doesn't make sense for the Pirates to trade for this so-called person, Taylor Ward. Does it make sense or does it not make sense? And if it does make sense, why?
Taylor Ward's versatile, and so I feel like Pirate fans would think he could be used in the outfield, but he can play all over. He can hit a bit as well. And, yeah, those are his two big strengths, versatile and good hitter.
Would he make this lineup better, though? Like, I mean, he's versatile, he's a good hitter, but if he's placed in this lineup, does this make them better? Like, does this make them a true contender? Does this separate themselves from the pack of everybody else being in the same kind of boat here and racing for this wild card spot?
So I don't know exactly where he would fit because of his versatility, and he's not lighting it up on offense. I mean, I'm looking here, he's got a .226 average with 14 homers. So he's in the, like, all these outfield options, all aside from Brent Rooker, they're all kind of in the same vicinity on offense. And so for him, though, I mean, he plays all over. It's not like he specializes in playing the outfield. He's versatile. I actually looked it up online here, and it comes up that he's a third baseman in one place. MLB.com has him as a left fielder. So, like, he's can be seen as being able to play anywhere. So, mm-hmm. For me, I don't know where he would fit in particular, as opposed to some of the other guys. Like, Jazz Chisholm seems like top of the order guy.
Yeah.
Because he's fast.
Yeah.
And he seems like definite center fielder because that's where he plays. He's made some good defensive plays out there before. You see highlight reels of him out there. He's done well. Brent Rooker, clear middle of the order guy because he's got over 20 home runs and he's batting close to .300. Taylor Ward, utility guy, pretty much with a .226 average. Doesn't excite me as much as other options.
Tell me why it would make sense or it doesn't make sense if the Pirates were to find a trade partner for Cabrian Hayes.
Wait, phrase that again. Why it would make sense for them to trade?
Why would that make sense if they were to do that, and why wouldn't it make sense if they were to do that?
You offload one of your bigger contracts, and you get rid of a guy that seems like he's at high risk for injury for the rest of his career. The only problem is, though, that you're going to struggle to find any value in return from other teams, even if teams want him, because it seems like it's been made public knowledge now this guy's got some chronic back issues that mm-hmm. will harm him. And I think I heard Michael McHenry talking about it the other day on one of the other shows, how it's not going to get better, because when you move your hips so aggressively in run direction, when you throw and when you hit, your hips are going to come out of line pretty soon. That's just what happens. So slanted hips on top of back problems is not a great formula. I don't know who would be interested in that. That's the honest truth here. Or maybe you trade him, but somebody's got to inherit that contract, assuming, and give back, you know, something of value, which I don't think is going to be very much value.
What about Henry Davis?
I would trade him. I'm not hesitant about that. I don't know why some people are. You're in a position where you want to, at least I want to win now. I don't know. The team organization says they want to win, and they're going to do what they can. If it's me, Henry Davis is, I think he's got a lot of potential, but I think that it's not the right time for him, it doesn't seem like. Mm-hmm. Pirates have Joey Bart. Pirates have Andy Rodriguez coming back. They've got catching options now, and Henry Davis, his value is still there because you can still say, you know, he's a first-round pick from before. He's got a bunch of qualities. He's a 1-1 overall.
Yeah.
And he's still got a lot of potential. I think you can sell that. He hasn't done enough damage. I think he hasn't played long enough where another team could make the argument that he's not worth it. I think that he's still got a lot in the tank. I think his hitting can be fixed. I think playing the outfield and catcher makes him more valuable as well. That makes him a little more versatile, and that could be a bargaining chip. But I'm not going to say that I'm going to give up on him because he can't play. My argument is I'm going to trade him now because it's not the right time for him to be on the organization, and they can trade for a piece that can help them win now.
Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely with you right there. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500. In rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 83, low of 58. Tomorrow, high of 88, low of 61.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.